Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Kemnay Parish Church. Warm welcome to all who are here with us today in the sanctuary, all who are watching live online via our streaming service or on catch-up service during the week. Welcome to worship, everyone. We are delighted to have you with us here today. We have a few intimations to share at the start of our time together. First of all, as we did last week, I extend another welcome to Miss Kylie Gunther, our new parish assistant. Kylie, we're delighted to have you with us as you continue into your year of ministry with us here in Kemnay. And we hope and we trust that you've already felt warmly welcomed by the community. She's nodding, so that's a good sign. A reminder that this coming Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. in the church center, we will have our second of five training sessions about parish ministry, about how to be the people of God, the body of Christ here in the community of Kemnay. Last Wednesday, we had a great turnout for discussing the practice and the need for pastoral care, for visitations, and things of that nature. And on that note, we also promised you printed handouts of material about that subject. So if you're one of those who wanted the printed material from that last session, I have it with me. So please ask me for it at the end of the service today, or ask Heather for it, and be delighted to get that to you. So this coming Wednesday, we continue our conversation about the wider joyful task of ministry in Kemnay by talking about the importance of leading prayer in worship. This will be a two-part discussion this Wednesday and the next Wednesday about leading prayer in worship. So whether you're an old hand at leading prayer, whether you do it on occasion, or whether you've never done it but have an interest in learning more about prayer or the theology of prayer or why we pray as Christians, please do consider coming along this Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. at the church center. Heather and I will co-lead this session on prayer, and we do hope to see you there. A reminder as well that on Saturday, the 16th of June, this coming Saturday, we will have a soup and sweet lunch at Loaves and Fishes from 11:30 until 2 p.m., £5 entry, and all proceeds will go to support the continued work and ministry of Loaves and Fishes. On Tuesday, the 19th of June at 7 p.m. in the Church Center, we'll have our next meeting of the men's group, and we are delighted to welcome Kylie along to that night. And Noel, are you joining us as well? We'd be delighted to have you as well then, too. And this will be a chance for Kylie to share a little bit of her story, what's led her to Scotland. We'll also hear more widely about the wider program of which Kylie is a part, from the Office of Church Engagement from Whitworth University. We've had several placements throughout our wider presbytery of Whitworth students engaging in ministry here with us. And so it's a chance to hear more about this vital and dynamic ministry. So all interested men, please do mark your diaries for 7 p.m. on Tuesday, 19th of June for fellowship. Outstanding food, of course. It'll be well worth it. A reminder that this Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. in the quiet room downstairs in the church center, we'll have our next gathering of winnowers. That's back on this Tuesday. This is a chance for us to sit together with the scripture text for the coming Sunday and discern together what the Lord may be saying to our community of faith. So no special knowledge of the Bible is required at all. But if you've ever been before, you're welcome back. Or if it's your first time, all are welcome week by week for this time of listening to scripture together. I've been asked to notify that we have a new publication from the Church of Scotland World Mission Council, this green booklet here, and this is available in the back of the church. So if you're curious or interested, please do pick up a copy of this today. Also, tonight, 6:30 p.m., we have another evening service of praise here in the church, led by our wonderful praise band. This is a more relaxed format of worship, a chance to simply be together as the people of God and to worship the Lord through the gift of music, through the hearing of scripture, through the sharing of testimony. So please do consider coming along tonight at 6:30 p.m. here in the church for what's sure to be a wonderful evening of praise. And finally, I've been asked to share that this coming week at Kemnay Academy, we are partnering with volunteers from Kintore Parish Church to lead prayer spaces in the academy. This was undertaken last year as well, and several of us, I think, volunteered our time and energy for it last year and found it to be a rewarding experience. But we're doing it again this coming week, and we are in need of a few more volunteers to come alongside our leaders to support prayer spaces. It will be a Monday through Friday endeavor. The schedule fluctuates each day a little bit, but if you have availability to help or to serve, please speak with me after the service, and I'll be in touch with you about particular times in which for which we are in need. I can say off the top of my head that we are especially in need of volunteers for Tuesday morning for prayer spaces. So if you have the inclination to help, especially on Tuesday morning, please make your interest known. Are there any other intimations to share with our church family at the start of our time together? With those shared, then, let us worship our God through the gift of music by singing our opening song of praise. Come, now is the time to worship. And during the singing of this song, your offering for God's continued work here in Kemne and beyond will be uplifted.
Let us commit our worship to God. Let us all pray. Lord, we praise you that this is the time to worship, the time to come before you, the time to recommit ourselves to you, the time to realize again that you are King, you are Lord, you are our Father, you are our Saviour, you are the Spirit within us. We praise you that you are our God. And Lord, we ask that you will fill us this morning. Help us to be very sensitive to your calling, to your words to us. Help us to know your love surrounding us. And Lord, help us to know you ministering to us, each of us in our own situations, with our own backgrounds, with the things that concern us, the things that excite us, the things that cause us pain or suffering. Thank you that you're here with us. And Lord, enable us to minister to one another. We thank you so much that we are not called to be Christians by ourselves, but we are called to be together in you, that you have given us this place, you've given us each other to encourage and to help us to grow and to come closer to you. And Lord, as we consider the love that you have for us, we consider the new kingdom that you have created, one which has values so different from that of the world around us. We do realize that we are so readily distracted by the world, so easily distracted from you. And Lord, we pray for forgiveness. We pray for forgiveness for all the things that we've done or thought or said which have dishonored you this week. We pray that you will forgive us and restore us, and thank you that you always do say that you will redeem us and draw us closer to yourself day by day. And Lord, we thank you for being able to just come and commit this time to you. We thank you for the gifts that you've given us. We thank you for the offering that we have been able to make this morning. Please use it for your glory, for extending your kingdom. And thank you that you've taught us to pray, and you gave us the prayer that Jesus taught us to say, saying together, "Our Father,
thank you, David. We continue to worship our God through the gift of music by singing our next song of praise together, "As the Deer."
Joy, giver, and the apple of I have all the children come and join me on the steps for a time. Very good. Come on and sit so you can see what is in my bag. So if you're sitting somewhere that you can't see my bag, find another spot. Can everyone see what's here? Okay, I'm going to take it out and let me see if you can guess what it is. What do you think, Benny? A present. Okay, let's be honest. Who likes to get presents? Yeah, come on, everybody. Yes, everybody loves presents. And what about, does anybody like to give somebody else a present? Does anybody like to give presents? I also like to give presents. Isn't that? That's very fun. So I have a special present here. Can anybody who reads, can anyone see if it says anything about who it's to or who it might be from? Victoria, can you read there?
To you from God.
Oh, to you. Is it you? Or is it you? You, oh, I don't know who the you is, but from, we do know the from. Who's it from again, Victoria?
God.
God. Ooh, a gift from God. Could anyone name any gifts that God gives us? Any gifts? Yes, Annabelle.
Love.
Ooh, I like that one. God gives us love. Do we agree that God gave love? Is love make us feel good? That's a good gift. Do you have an idea for one, Victoria?
Worship.
Ooh, another good one, that God gave us time in which we could sing and give praise to God. I like that. Yes, Fiona.
Strength.
Yes. Strength so that we can get up every day, so we can go on walks or even bicycle rides, even if we get hurt. But he gives us strength to get back up again, right? He gives us strength. That's a great gift. Anyone else? Can anyone think of other gifts that God gives? Those are really good examples. I like that. Do you have one more, Annabelle?
Shelter,
a house or a roof over us. So many good gifts. So anyone else who reads, what does it say on the side of our box there? Annabelle?
Gifts.
Gifts from God. Is that what you were going to say too? Gifts from God. But I have another word over here. This is a bigger one. Can anyone tell me if we can sound it out there? Yeah, can you? Blessings. And that word we use, but it's kind of a big word. Can anyone say what blessings may mean? What are blessings? And I'll give you a clue. What do you think, Rona? Yes, blessings are gifts from God. So I've got a few fun things to tell you that we are going to be doing over the next several weeks into the next several months. We're going to be learning about some gifts from God, which could also be called blessings. And in the Bible, there's a special list of these blessings, and they have a big word. And this one may be new to you. It's on the bottom of my gift. Any idea how we might say that? It starts with a B sound. Beatitudes. Have you heard of that, Finley? No, Beatitudes. So we're going to be learning about the Beatitudes, and we're going to be learning about it during our children's time up here. And they are a list of blessings, of gifts from God. And so we're going to be learning about them. And every week, we may have a chance to open the gift, and there might be something in it. Or there might be a time where we have to search and find the gift or blessing. So if you're able to come back some this spring or summer, we're going to be finding those things. And we recognize that sometimes in the spring or summer, you go on holidays. Raise your hand if you might go on a holiday. Yes. So anybody like surprises? Does anyone like surprises? And we all decided that we like gifts. So in a couple weeks, we're going to tell you about a surprise, a gift from God, a blessing that you'll get to make that may get to go with you on your holidays that you may be able to take pictures with. Would that be fun? Yeah, I'm excited for that. But we're not going to tell you all the surprises, and we're not going to tell you about all the gifts from God. But I am one final question. If you get a gift, is there anything that you do to deserve it? Or to earn it? This is a big one. If you receive a birthday gift, is there anything that you do to earn it? Or is it a pure gift? It's a tricky one, isn't it?
We as adults get this one confused a lot too. If a gift is from God, it's a pure gift. There's nothing that we do to earn it. So we're going to keep talking about that and how we don't earn these gifts, but God gives them to us. So I'm super excited to tell you more about, can anyone remember the big word we learned today? Beatitudes. Can you guys say it? Beatitudes. Can the adults say it with us? Beatitudes. And we're going to be talking about those in the weeks to come. And the Beatitudes are what? They are blessings. Very good. So we're going to be talking about all of those words in weeks to come. And this package, this gift is going to come back. And do you think we're going to open it in another week? Yes. So there's going to be surprises to come, but we have to wait for them. Okay, will you guys pray with me? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for blessings, for gifts from you. And Lord, thank you for the kids and how they named them today, for strength and for love and for worship and for shelter. You've given us so many gifts, and you've also given us the Beatitudes, even though we may not know what they are yet. We thank you for those gifts. So Lord, this week, as we go out, help us to have eyes to see the blessings and gifts that you have given to us. We pray this in your name. Amen. I'm going to tell you guys, we're going to do something a little bit different today. After we sing a song, you guys get a choice because you have your worship bags, right? So with your moms and dads, you can decide if you want to do your worship bag in the seats, or you can decide after we sing the next song if you want to go in the room next door to do that. But that's a decision you get to make together, that you're going to do your worship bags today. So that's the special gift that we have for you today. Thanks, you guys, for joining me up here. You can go sit back down.
Thank you, Heather. We continue in worship by singing our next song of praise together, I Want to Live for Jesus Every Day.
I want to live for Jesus every day.
Today's scripture passage comes from the Gospel of Matthew and can be found on page 968 of the Church Bibles. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who came before you." Thanks be to God for the word of the Lord today.
Thank you, Kylie. We continue in worship together with our next song of praise, "Take My Life and Let It Be." Let us pray. Lord, living God, speak to us clearly in the power of your word. May your spirit fall afresh upon each of us as we hear your word proclaimed. And may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. You are the strength and the redemption of all who trust in you. Amen. Today we begin a new summer series from the Gospel of Matthew. Over the next several weeks, as Heather has already mentioned, we're going to take a close, intentional look at the first part of what has come to be called Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the part which might be known to some of us as the Beatitudes, the part of the Sermon on the Mount that Kylie has read for us this morning. Now, we're wondering who is paying attention during the children's talk time. What's a beatitude? Oh, well done indeed. Beatitude means blessing or supreme blessedness. Beatitude can mean you've got it good. Along with the Ten Commandments from the Hebrew Bible, we might claim that no other sayings have had as much impact on humanity as the Beatitudes, along with the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. Why? What is it about these Beatitudes that has spoken so clearly, so powerfully to people of faith throughout the ages? Well, in the words of the scholar and pastor Daryl Johnson, one of Heather's teachers at Regent College, he said, when the Beatitudes have been heard, when they've been taken seriously, when they've been taken to the heart, they result in a new way of living. The Beatitudes result in a new way of living. And some examples, some famous examples of this new way of living can be seen in people like Mother Teresa, for example. We know that Mother Teresa gave her whole adult life to the care and love for the poor, the destitute, those deemed to be untouchable in the slums of Calcutta in India. And her care and her love for the poor, she insisted time and again, was a direct result of these Beatitudes. We know the story of Nelson Mandela, don't we? Who was imprisoned, I think, for 27 years as a political criminal. And when he was released, he remarked that his ability to extend forgiveness, peace, reconciliation to his enemies was a direct result of these Beatitudes of Jesus. They showed him a better way. And we know the remarkable transformation that has occurred in South Africa over the years since Mandela's time. Or look at the life of Mahatma Gandhi. He once said, "Christ's Sermon on the Mount fills me with bliss. Even today, its sweet verses have even today the power to quench the agony of my soul." Gandhi said that. He wasn't even a Christian. And he said that about these Beatitudes, about the Sermon on the Mount. Or look at Martin Luther King Jr. MLK's whole philosophy of nonviolent civil disobedience was born out of his reading of these Beatitudes. We see how formative these words can become. And it's not just famous people. The Beatitudes of Jesus have served as a strong and sure foundation for the lives of countless women and countless men of faith. The Beatitudes of Jesus are a wellspring of wisdom from which we can draw our entire lives. These words, and it doesn't take very long to read them aloud or read them to ourselves, these words, these Beatitudes, draw us into the very heart of what it means to follow in the way of Jesus Christ. So the Beatitudes are words of life to us. We must be oh so careful about two possible errors, two possible mistakes that we can make when we read these beautiful verses from Matthew's gospel. The first thing we have to be on guard against is when we read through these Beatitudes, we will see that each one seems to set an exceedingly high bar for how Jesus wants us to live. And sometimes, if we are being completely honest, and I feel this way, it might seem like the bar that Jesus sets is far too high for anyone to reach. Am I poor in spirit? Am I meek? Am I merciful? Am I pure in heart? Wow. Because the bar seems so high, we might be tempted to idealize these Beatitudes and treat them as a way of life just for the spiritual elite, if even they qualify. That's one mistake we can make, to say that these Beatitudes are eternally out of reach, especially to people like us. The other mistake we can make when we read the Beatitudes is we might be tempted to treat them as a to-do list that we can work through to earn favor with God. We might treat them as a surefire way to salvation. If I can just be poor in spirit, I'm good to go. If I can just be a peacemaker, just this once, then I'll be God's child. If I can just be pure in heart, if only for a little while, then I'll see God. To put it another way, we can find ourselves quite easily being legalistic about the Beatitudes, treating each one as some sort of box that needs to be ticked before God will give us the time of day. And I cannot overstate how disastrous this way of thinking can be for our spiritual well-being. So, the Beatitudes should not be idealized on one hand, nor should they be legalized on the other. What then are we to take from these Beatitudes as a whole? I think we are to take from them a vision of what Daryl Johnson calls gospelized people. I think he made up that word, but I like it anyways. Gospelized people. Okay? That's what the Beatitudes are supposed to be about. But this raises what might seem like an obvious question. What's the gospel? What's the gospel? Now, this might seem like a no-brainer of a question, but I actually had to stop and think about it when I was preparing the sermon. What is the gospel? And for an answer, I had to turn to Mark's gospel, the first part, chapter 1, verses 14 through 15, which tells us that after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. There it is. Proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled. The appointed time is fulfilled even. And the kingdom of God has drawn near. Repent and believe in the gospel. Those are Jesus' first words in the Gospel of Mark. Does anybody know what the word gospel literally means? Good news. That's right. So Jesus talks about the time fulfilled, the kingdom of God drawing near or is at hand. So the gospel is the announcement of a great eternal fact that God, the great divine intruder, is permeating, transforming, and redeeming our world. That's why the gospel is good news. The gospel is God's new order breaking into our broken and fallen world. The gospel tells us that a divine revolution is already underway and is continuing even today here in Chemnay. So the Beatitudes are all about this kind of gospelized people. People who are being changed, transformed, redeemed. And gospelized people become beatitude people. Gospelized people become beatitude people. Put it another way, when Jesus breaks the chains over our hearts, when the gospel takes hold of our lives, that is when the Beatitudes become evident in our lives. It is when Jesus claims us, when the Holy Spirit lives in us, that is when we become poor in spirit. That is when we become peacemakers. That is when we become sons and daughters of God. Take a look at your orders of service, if you would, please. Does anybody notice anything different on the order of service on this side, on the order of service? It's not a typo. Yes. Yes, Anne? Yes. And what do you see beneath that? And beneath that? Beneath that? Ah, there we go. It's more than just words. The Beatitudes are all about becoming gospelized people. The Beatitudes are all about God making us into the men and women and boys and girls that He wants us to be. The Beatitudes tell us that each and every one of us has beautiful God-given gifts, God-given callings to build the body of Christ in Chemnay. And by the way, building the body of Christ doesn't just mean more bums in the chairs. It's much, much more than that, isn't it? It's about transforming lives, making people aware of God's presence and power in each and every day. The task of ministry is not just for people like me or Heather or Kylie. Each and every one of us has beautiful, essential gifts that can, should, and must be used. God wants to make each of us into a gospelized person, into a beatitude person. So our lives are not marked by the Beatitudes by our own efforts. I hope that's clear. By our own efforts, we will either idealize these Beatitudes or legalize them. By our own efforts, we will utterly distort what the Beatitudes are supposed to be all about. From start to finish, the Beatitudes are what result from a life claimed, redeemed, and empowered by the triune God. That's why Jesus can say that you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, Matthew 5:48. Now that seems like it's impossible. But Jesus isn't talking about a kind of perfection that comes from our own efforts. He's talking about what ultimately happens to gospelized people, to beatitude people. Because God is at work, and God's work will always be brought to full fruition. So the Beatitudes are not about our own efforts, nor are they out of reach. Rather, they are what happen when we, by grace, are brought into alignment with God's inbreaking kingdom. Once again, Daryl Johnson likes to talk about the Beatitudes as living right side up in an upside down world. I quite like that. And this brings me to the last major point I want to make this morning, that when we look at the Beatitudes, we will notice that all of the Beatitudes start with the same word. What word does each Beatitude start with? Say it again. Blessed. Very good. They were listening to you, Heather. So, blessed. The word beneath this word in Greek is the word makarios. We say that together. Makarios. I get a language lesson this morning, I know. Makarios. Makarios. Good. Now, this word can be translated as blessed. That's perfectly fine. Some translations also have it as happy. Anybody ever seen that before in the Sermon on the Mount? Right? So, but makarios has a much deeper meaning than that. It can also mean fortunate, approved, or even more loosely, it can mean congratulations. I like to see a Bible translation that has that in it. Or if you'll pardon an Americanism, makarios can also mean, in the words of Karl Barth, the great Swiss theologian, makarios can mean you lucky bums. You lucky bums. You have absolutely nothing to offer, but God can't wait to welcome you. That's what it means. Your pockets are empty. You have nothing to give. No problem. Come on in. You're less than perfect. You have sin in your life. You have faced pain, disappointment, doubts. You feel less than steady on your feet. Makarios. Welcome. Blessed, you lucky bums. Makarios says that we are loved. Loved in a way that we can hardly even begin to comprehend. Makarios tells us that we are loved in ways that will redeem each of us from the tip of our head to the bottom of our toes. Makarios is not about how we feel about ourselves. That changes minute by minute. Makarios is how God feels about us. And that never changes. Come on in, you lucky bums. I love you. So each of the Beatitudes starts with this powerful word, makarios. Good news. God is on your side. God is for you. You are going to be gospelized. You are going to become a beatitude person. You are going to be made into a son, a daughter of the Most High. It's already happening. It's already underway. The Beatitudes reveal to us the character of the kingdom. They reveal God's ultimate aim for every follower of Jesus, to become like him. Because Jesus himself is the perfect embodiment of every one of these Beatitudes. And God wants to make each of us more into who we are, more into the likeness of Jesus. That's what this is all about. So over the next few weeks, as we look at each of these Beatitudes in greater detail, let us ask God to help each of us live anew into the character of his kingdom. Friends, fellow lucky bums, it's time to become gospelized people. May the Lord make it so. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We can't become gospelized people on our own. It is God's work within us that makes it so. It is God who makes each of us into a new creation.
Let's come together in our prayers for others. Father God, we come to you with our prayers for others in your world. Our next hymn calls you High King of Heaven, Ruler of all. We freely acknowledge this, and we praise and worship you. We thank you that you rule all, but you care for all too. You care with a depth and a breadth that we can't begin to imagine, Lord, but we thank you for it, and we commit to your care the many troubles in this world. We focus our prayers today on just a few areas of need. We pray for Hawaii and Guatemala. We remember the people whose homes, livelihoods, and most of all their families have been destroyed in the recent volcanic eruptions in Hawaii and in Guatemala. Lord, for most of us, this is the stuff of Hollywood films, but for these people, it is a desperate and grim reality. We pray for the help they need to be forthcoming. We pray they will know support, comfort, and your love throughout this tragedy. We bring to you the world leaders involved in the G7 summit. We pray that the saber-rattling and the face-saving that seems to be so high on the agenda will be replaced with a desire for real unity, with genuine care for the people these leaders are meant to be representing, and with a real plan to care for your planet. We can each do our little bit to help this planet survive our inhabitation. But without the desire for change at government level, our efforts frequently seem in vain. We pray for the decisions our government make at home. Help them to be guided by principles of fairness and of justice, and to be mindful of your values and teachings in all they do and decide. Today, thousands of women and girls will march in UK cities, marking the 100 years of some women getting the vote. We thank you for all women across the world who have fought for the rights of women throughout the years. We ask your blessing on those who continue to campaign and work for the education and empowerment of women today. Agencies such as Tear Fund are working very hard to support and enable women. Strengthen their efforts and bring them to fruition for justice and equality, we pray. We pray too for enlightenment in areas of the world where women are repressed and treated so badly by those in authority. We come in a moment of silence and we bring the families we know who are in need of your presence and comfort, Lord, through illness, loss, or a time of trouble, as we name these in our hearts. We commit all of these to your care, Lord. And may all who are grieving the loss of someone they care about take comfort in the knowledge that you care eternally and you are a safe haven for those we love and lose. Finally, Lord, we pray for ourselves, Father, as we go into a new week. Be with us in all we do and say. Show us where you would have us be. Give us words to use as we come alongside those that we might help or comfort. Be our guide and our rock in our own times of troubles. Help us to know your presence with us always. All these things we pray in the name of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Rita. We now sing our closing song of praise to God. Be thou my vision.
Thank you.
The divine revolution is underway. Jesus has revealed the character of the kingdom. Even now, he is making us into gospelized people, into beatitude people. Go forth from this place, live into the grace and love of God, and may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon each of us and upon all who we love, this day and forevermore. What time tonight for evening praise? 6:30. I hope to see you there.